It's a really neat book. And we're going to give you a little history on it in just a second. But when I come to this book, this is the one that always reminds me about this book, is this phrase, is consider your ways. See, this was written at the same time that Zechariah and Malachi was written. They are contemporaries to Ezra and Zechariah. What happens here is the prophet is sent to a group of people that actually were challenged to build the temple. They faced a lot of different issues. They faced a lot of different problems. And as facing these problems and these issues, they stopped serving. And so God sends this prophet and says, look, I want you to consider your ways. I want you to think about what you're doing. And that's kind of what I like to look at as we say goodbye to 2015. And here in a couple of days when we open up to 2016, I want us to consider our ways and consider a couple things about it. And is there some things that we need to change? This verse is always something I like to look at and I like to consider when it comes to the new year. I like to think about things that I had purposed in my heart that I like to see and accomplish in 2015. Maybe some things I fell short in. Maybe some things we've seen succeeded in. Things like that. I like to consider those things. But I also like to consider them according to the Bible as we look forward to 2016 here tonight. So let's look here at considering your ways. Look in verse number 1, in chapter number 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and governor of Judah, and unto Joshua the son of Jehozadak the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. And one thing that you love about Haggai is when he gets in there, he starts preaching, he always says, thus saith the Lord, or thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. You'll see he is challenged by this. He says, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say. And so what are the people saying? They are saying this. The time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. So what they're saying is, it's not the right time to build this house. Not the right time to build God's house. Now, they had came 16 years earlier. This remnant had begun building the temple. We learned this from the book of Ezra. How do you know those dates? It's based off the dates we see here, specifically found in verse number 1. We learned from the book of Ezra that the Samaritans came, they hired councils, they misrepresented the Jews before the king, and due to these accusations, the temple work had stopped. But God was not pleased. The people became discouraged. And God sends Haggai. And listen to what Haggai is sent from God to say. Verse number 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now here's the accusation that God is bringing. He says, look, is it time for you to live in your sealed houses? And back in that time period, especially in this area, a sealed house was a very wealthy house, something that they spent a lot of time on. Nothing wrong with having a nice house, but God is making this comparison. You as a remnant was brought back here to build the walls and to build the temple. And we brought you back here and you got discouraged and you stopped. And now I'm saying, and God's saying, you can live in these big houses. You have no problem with making your own house look beautiful, but my house lieth waste. Let's keep on going. Now in verse number 5, now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts. Once again, he reminds the people, this is the Lord of hosts. This is God. This is the one that created the world. He is the Lord of the hosts of Israel. Consider your ways. And then he begins to give a comparison here. He says, you have sown much and bring in little. He's talking about the results here, their work and their labor. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. What God is saying, that God is not blessing anything that they're doing. You have much to eat, but you're never filled. You have much to drink, but you're still thirsty. He says, you have all these clothes, but you're not comfortable in them. He says that you sow much, you labor much, you work really hard, but you have nothing to show for it. And that last phrase, it says, and earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. And we'll look at that a little bit more in a second. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on the sermon tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to this spot, this moment, Lord, I pray you just calm our hearts, calm our minds, and Lord, just for a little while, take some time and just consider our own ways. When we think about the nation of Israel here, this remnant and the purpose that they came back to their land was to build the temple, to build the wall. And Lord, we see that the temple lays unbuilt. And Lord, I pray that you help us tonight as we look at them and how God's saying, will you please take a look at what you're doing? That we ourselves would take a look at our own lives and consider the things that we're doing and ask ourselves to consider our own ways. Seeing, compared to the Word of God, there's something we need to change. Seeing if there's something that we need to start doing or stop doing. And Lord, as we get ready to enter another new year, help us to consider our ways and help us to compare it to the Word of God and consider what it is that you would like for us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's the book of Haggai, and someday in the future we might come back to the book of Haggai even this upcoming year. It's only three chapters. It wouldn't take very long, maybe 4 to 6 weeks to go through all of it, but it's filled with four sermons. It's filled with four or five sermons. They're always dated. It talks about the lack of workers here, and we see discontentment in chapter number two. We see filthiness being a problem later on in the book. It's really a neat book, and the reasons why people don't serve God. Here's when we consider our ways. I want you all, first of all, to think about consider your past. When God tells you to consider your ways, you need to compare it to something. What is it that you've been doing? This past year in 2015, now we could go back the 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years you've lived, but let's focus on considering our ways in 2015. What is it that we did in 2015? God is coming up and he's talking to this group of people and says, it's been 16 years since you stopped building my temple and there's a problem with that. And he's saying, I want you to consider your past. He said in verse number 2 through 5, and we'll read it again very quickly, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, the people say the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house shall be built. He's saying, it's not time yet. Let's keep on pushing it off. Let's keep on pushing it off. Let's keep on pushing it off. And that is sometimes the problem when it comes to people's Christians' lives. It's just not time for me to start doing this. It's not just time for me to start reading my Bible more. It's not time for me to be a soul winner. It's not time for me to start giving. It's not time for me to be faithful. Let's keep on waiting and keep on waiting and keep on waiting. And the problem is, when that happens, usually what happens is it never, ever comes. And that's what it seems like is happening here. They have began this. They had struggles and they had problems and they had people make false accusations, and that will happen. When you start doing good, guess what? The devil's going to rise up and try to do whatever he can to stop you. I've seen it happen over and over. Someone gets in church, someone gets faithful to church, and they start serving and they start working, and then the devil hits them with a blow. It could maybe be a sickness, or maybe somebody says something mean to them, or somebody offends one of their children, and they get all bent out of shape, and they say, it's not worth it. Let's put this on hold. Let's shelve this issue for right now. I want you to consider your ways. I want you to consider your past. I want you to think about this past year, and I know that not all of us have accomplished everything we wanted to accomplish. There's a lot of things that I would have liked seen done, a lot of things I'd like to seen happen, but I'm talking about you personally considering your ways this past year. Have we put something off on the shelf? And the Lord is coming to this group and saying to them, consider your ways. Have you considered your ways? 2015's closing up, and it kind of flew by, didn't it? I don't know about you, it flew by for me. It just seemed like summer was just recent. And then it's like, I still remember last year at this time. It's amazing how fast things go. I have a 16-year-old son. He seemed like he was only 3 when he came here. And that was right, 13 years ago. And that was a long time ago. And he's 16 now, and he has his learner's permit. And you don't have to worry about him. Sometimes parents say, you want to get off the road. You just don't want to get behind Christian. He drives so slow. I call him Granny sometimes because he goes so slow. And I don't know where he learned that from. He didn't learn it from me. He didn't learn it from my wife. Don't laugh. And some people pick on my wife. wife about her driving, so she has calmed down a lot from those years. So, but they didn't learn those things from me. But how about you this past year? What is it that you've learned? What is it when you consider your, and at the end of the message, we're going to consider some different things. Consider your past. Next thing I want you to think about is consider your results. You say, okay, Pastor, you got my attention. I'm thinking about it. Okay, now consider your results. If you look in verses 6 and 9, God is pretty much saying, you did everything you could in your own power, and guess what happened? Nothing. You worked really, really hard, and you didn't bring out near as much as you should have. You said you had more food than you could have ever been satisfied with, but you were just really never satisfied. You drank more than you ever have before in the past, but you always seemed like you wanted more. You know, it still amazes me how some people can be so happy with so little. I think about those missionary letters sometimes, and I think about the Shaws talking about being that cold and not having electricity. And I'm thinking, boy, and you know what? They're happy. And then I think about those that are so rich and so wealthy, and it's all about just another dollar. Not happy, not satisfied. And there's nothing wrong with being successful. But God was telling these people, consider your ways. Consider why things are not happening the way that you want them to happen. Consider why you're not seeing the blessing of God. Consider the results. You have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but you have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. He that earneth wages to put them into a bag with holes. Seems like it's always slipping right out there. I don't know, that verse reminds me of the government. They get so much money, I don't know what they do with it. It's like it just goes out the holes in the bag. Verse number 9, ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. You brought it home, I did blow on it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man unto his own house. This is not the idea of us trying to consider the house of God. We're not trying to build a temple here. And this is not a message of trying to spruce up the church. And I think we should take good care of the church. Don't get me wrong. That's not the idea here. It's saying, God says, this is what's important. And you're missing what is important. Now consider your ways. Remember what you did last year. Did you make me a priority? And because you did not make me a priority, you did not get the blessings that God has to offer you. Now, I don't want you to think just because of the fact that somebody's life has fallen to hard times or hardships that it must be because they're not doing things that are right. No, you're not going to blame the fact that that there was that rainy season on the Ashberries and they couldn't do anything because of all the rain because they were doing something wrong. No, you're not, but there's different things to consider here. Consider your ways. It's not always the reason, but you personally, consider your ways. Consider your results. Consider your past. But also consider God's plans and God's promises. He says in verse number 8, he says to him, he said, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. These people are making excuses. They put this on the shelf because it become hard. It's become tough for them. The Samaritans made false accusations to the king. And they stopped because it became difficult to do. And they said, no, it's just not worth it. And he says, look, you just go and do what I told you to do. You go get the wood. You build it. And he says, then I will get glory out of it. If you go to chapter number 2, and they begin talking about the glory that used to be when Solomon was there, and they began talking about how everything was great and how everything was wonderful and how some people were weeping because they had seen it many, many years ago, maybe as a young child, and now it's not like that anymore. And they know if they just go get that wood from up in the forest and they bring it down, they build, it'll be nothing like it used to be. But God says, don't worry about what it used to be. He says in verse number 8, he says, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You know, sometimes I think people not only put it on the shelf, but sometimes people get discouraged because they're like, I can't do it as well as somebody else. Maybe the reason why I don't sing, or maybe the reason why I don't teach, or maybe the reason why I don't help is because somebody else has done a little bit better than me before in the past. If I felt that way, you know what? I would never preach because I always think somebody else can do it better. I always, when I listen to other people speak and preach, I'm thinking, boy, I wish I could have that eloquence or those jokes or those stories or that type of voice. But you know what? That's not it at all. God says, I want you to consider your ways. I want you to consider your past year. God has given you talents. He's given you abilities. He's given you the opportunity. Now, consider the results. Where you have put your work and where you have put your effort and the things you have made a priority in your life, how did it help you? Did it work out for you? Because God has a plan for you and God has a promise for you. And that plan and that promise involves going and doing the work God has told you to do. I know it's great. You live in a big, beautiful house and your house is sealed and it looks special. You had no problem building that. But when it came to the priority of God, you said, no, not right now. Oh, it's not going to be as good as somebody else is doing it, so I'm just not going to do it. Remember, God says, the Bible says, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And he says, look, I want you to do what I've asked you to do. There are thoughts of peace. There's an expected end. I got a plan for you. I got something I'm interested in you doing. And that's what he's telling this church here. This group of people. You came back. I allowed you to come back. I allowed you to this king. I spoke to this king's heart. And you know, it's amazing how that remnant came back. And he says, I gave you a job to do. You said no. Now consider your ways. And same thing for us. He's given us something to do. And sometimes we just say no. So I just want us to consider our ways. I just want us to think about it a little bit. So the next thing is consider what you need to change. Consider what you need to change. And on the slide back there, you see that the word you is highlighted. And it's supposed to be highlighted. And it's even a different color. You want to know why? It's because I am really good at finding different ways people should change their ways. I can tell you how Andrew should change his ways. I can tell you how Christian should change his ways. I can tell you how my wife should change her ways. I can tell you how a lot of you should change your ways. But that's not what God's saying here. God is saying, consider your ways. He says, I want you to take some time. I want you to do something that many of us are not used to doing. I want you to get into a quiet place, and I want you to open up your Bible, and I want you to go before God, and I want you to say, Lord, what about this? Why is this happening? Where am I struggling at? What is it that I need to work on? Why am I not being blessed like I think I should be? Why does it seem like all these things? And he'll talk to you. Maybe not in an audible voice. Probably not in an audible voice. But he'll speak to your heart. If you spend time alone with him, you get alone with the Word of God and you consider your ways, God can help you and God can work in you. But here's the thing is, when you're considering your ways, don't base it off what your family says. Don't base it off your friend who doesn't go to church anywhere says. Don't base it off your friend who's backslidden and goes the wrong type of church. No, no, no. Consider your ways. The Bible says here, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. That means get into your Bible. See what God says and continueth therein. That means not only do you look in it, you continue in it. You live in it. He being not a forgetful here. It means not forgetting the things we already know, but a doer of the work. You're doing the things you know you're supposed to be. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Those guys here in Haggai chapter 1, they weren't blessed. And God was putting it right in front of their face and saying, I'm not blessing you and you're not getting it. So he calls the prophet up and says, I want you to go down here and I just want you to preach one message. Three words. You say, Pastor, I wish your message would be only three words sometimes. Three words. Consider your ways. Consider them. Let's consider our ways. Consider what last year was like. Consider what our results were. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that we should be disappointed because of the fact that things don't happen as quickly as we want. But we should consider that. Lord, is there a reason why you're not blessing my family? Is there a reason why? Because God can bring us through hardship sometimes. Remember, bad things happen to good people, but we need to consider our ways and we need God to say, hey, look, I'm teaching you, I'm showing you, I'm preparing you to help somebody else down the road. But when we're considering our ways, if we see that we're right with God, we'll have a peace about ourselves and say, you know what? 2016, I'm going to keep on doing the same thing because I know I'm supposed to. But most of us, when we consider our ways, we see areas that we need to change. So for just a minute or two, here's some things to consider. Some things to consider. And these are pretty generic. I mean, if we would have wrote down a list of things that we need to consider about our Christian life, I bet you this list, probably four or five of them would have came right to our thoughts. Consider our Bible reading. You know, think about it. I want to be better in the Bible. I want to know the Word of God better. I want it to hide in my heart so I will not sin against God. I want to be a better Bible student. Maybe I'll never be a Bible scholar. Maybe I'll never be as smart as somebody else. But at the beginning of every year, I say, I want to get into the Bible more this year than I was the year before. And I think probably most of us would say that's one of our goals. Or at least do the same amount I did the year before. So let's consider our ways last year. Did we do that? Did we do that? I know that a few of you have mentioned to me when we did the one verse a week for a little while in Romans chapter 6 in Sunday school class, they, you know what, I got back into memorizing my Bible. You consider that way, and you say, you know what, that was profitable in 2015. But then there's others of us could say, you know what, I didn't read through my whole Bible this year. I've done that before in the past, and I'm not saying you have to be super spiritual and read through your Bible every year. No, but if God asks you to, then that's what you should be doing. And I think it's important to read the whole counsel of God. And maybe for younger Christians, taking a chapter a day is a little bit better. But for someone who's three chapters a day, really isn't that much to ask. I think three chapters in the morning and three chapters at night, I think that's a reasonable way. Some in the Old Testament, some in the New Testament, reading the book of Proverbs, a different one proverb a day. You know, all those different things are all good things. But consider what you did last year. I'm considering what I did. I'm seeing if there's something I need to change. He says, well, you know, I did more than... No. Look in your Bible and say, okay, what does God say about His Word? God tells me to meditate it. God tells me to memorize it. God tells me to read it. Considering our ways according to the Bible, how did we do? I remember with the teenagers one year, I went up there and had a report card for them. You know, sometimes people like object lessons and had a report card. Kids don't like report cards very much, but report card. If you could grade yourself A, B, C, D, E, or F. See, back in my school it was F, but some people have E's. I don't know why. But you put reading your Bible every day, grade yourself. And when you had to write that down, you know, that's, some people will say, you know what? I didn't do it every day. I got to give myself a D in that. Consider your prayer life. Yeah. This is something that most of us would say, I need better at that. I can read my Bible, I can mark that off, but when it comes to my prayer life, am I really, truly praying like I should? And how am I supposed to pray? Pray without ceasing. Who am I supposed to pray for? Bearing one another's burdens. You know, consider what the Bible says. And obviously, we're not going to do it all right now, but take this home with you and think about it. I'm thinking about 2015. I'm considering my past. Is this a priority in my life? And I see God's plans. I see God's promises. I see the results. So is there something I need to change? Consider your faithfulness. It's Wednesday night. It was pouring down rain. Some people had to use a boat to get here. And so you're here. I know you're here on a Wednesday night. And so this is probably the faithful when it comes to church on Wednesday nights. I know some are sick. I know some are out of town. But you're probably faithful. But your faithfulness. Consider that. 2015, how did I do? I know God's plans. He says His purposes, His promises, He's required that a man be found faithful, a steward of His belt. How am I doing with faithfulness? Is there something I need to change? How about our finances? Finances. Once again, you know, consider 2015. Am I giving? Did God speak to my heart? And my missions and in my tithes and my offerings? How did I do? And, you know, sometimes, you know, at the end of the year, Miss Sharon gives out those little reports of how much you gave in a year. And I don't think you can compare, you know what, I gave more this year than I did last year. I don't think everybody can compare that way. Because sometimes God will bless you in a certain year. You might have extra. Sometimes God might speak to your heart and say, hey, there's a special need over here. Let's give extra towards that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying 2015, you know your heart. You know what God has asked. You know the plans. You know His promises. We see it in the book of Malachi. We see it all through the Bible about giving and being faithful. How did you do? Is there something you need to change? Consider your relationships. And we could spend an hour on this, but we're not. You know, consider if you're married, consider that relationship. If you're a child, consider relationship with your parents, parents with children, your relationship with your children, you know, your friendships, your church member relationship. You know, consider your relationships. Consider how you did in 2015. Are you closer to your husband or wife, or are you closer to getting divorced? Ooh, you said that would never happen. You know what? You continually build a block there and a block there, and you don't list love the wife, submit to the husband. You know, after a while, you know what's going to happen? It's not going to end up good. And so how did we do in 2015? Consider your witness and your testimony. First of all, testimony is what my testimony to other people, what God's done in my life. What other people think about me, what I said last on Sunday night about if they were going to give you a nickname. They gave Barnabas a nickname, encouragement or encourager. They were going to give you a nickname. What would they give you? Once again, I know we're not doing it for people. We're doing it for God. But your testimony, our witness. How did I do in 2015? Did I give out a track a week? Did I invite somebody different every single week? That's 52 times, 52 different people this past year. I mean, is that really asking that much? Probably not. We probably might invite 52 people to Friend Day. We might invite 20 or 30 people to Friend Day, but not just for Friend Day, you know, every day, every week. Maybe these are some of the things you should consider. I'm thinking about 2015. I see the results. Probably not happy with the results. And then now I'm going to look at, okay, this is God's promises when it comes to this. I'm seeing God's plans. What am I going to change for 2016? A couple other ones and we'll be done are actions. The things we do. That could mean lots of things. How we treat people, our actions at work, our actions at church, our actions on how we respond. You know, how did I do in 2015? What were the results? How's it working for you? The way you act and the way you treat other people. How is the benefits? Because God was telling him, clearly he was saying, look, you worked really hard, but you didn't gain much. You ate a lot, but you were never satisfied. You drank a lot, but you were never happy. It's like you're putting your money in bags of holes. You know, God can cause your car to break down. God can cause your car to keep on running. There's, you know, God can do all things, and that's what he's talking about, the holes and the money through there. He says, I can make things work longer, or I can make things work not as long. So that's what he said. How did your actions do? Because we see God's plans, we see God's promises. Now, is there something I need to change? Our attitudes. And that's something that, you know, we should be careful with, because we can all get attitudes very quickly. And it's pretty self-explanatory. You know, some of us have different type of attitudes. Some of us have chips on our shoulders. Some have, you know, a woe is me complex. You want everybody to feel sorry for you. Some have an attitude that you're better than everybody else. Some of us just have normal attitudes. But I'm saying, look at your attitudes. I don't need to list off 100 different attitudes for you to find out. You know what you're like. Consider it. And I don't want you to write these things out and say, well, I'm good here and I'm bad here. I'm good here, I'm bad here. Most of us need to take some time, because we're not comparing it off what we think. We shouldn't be comparing it off what the pastor thinks. We shouldn't be worrying about what our family thinks for the most part. We should be thinking, what does God think about these areas? And then, is there something I need to change? So between now and Sunday, let's try to consider our ways. On Sunday, hopefully, as the Lord willing, we're going to begin a 2016 theme and a campaign, or at least a new theme, you know, just to try to get our hearts going in the right way. But it starts here, because we need to consider our ways. Is there a commitment we need to make between now and Sunday? You say, Pastor, New Year's Day is on Friday. Well, that's fine if you want to make Fridays, but to me, January 1st is just January 1st. It's just another day in the calendar. Lots of people make plenty of resolutions on January 1st, and then they end them on January 2nd. And you know, so if God's spoken to your heart and he says, this is something I want you to change, make it tonight, and you can make it a December 30th resolution. That's fine. Doesn't really matter. It's got no reason to keep on pushing it off. But consider your ways. Take some time. Take some quiet time. And you say, Pastor, I got a busy schedule. Well, I could show you my schedule for the next 4 days. It's pretty busy too. I'm leaving tomorrow morning with a I'm going to say about 6 or 7 crazy teenagers. There's about 12 of us going, but I'm going to say 6 or 7 because some of the parents in the room be like, is he talking about mine? No, yours are the normal ones. Yeah, forget it. And everybody's going to think their own kid is normal. So, we're going to get up and they're going to leave here at 6:30, and then they're going to have fireworks tomorrow night at midnight for New Year's Day. So that means from 6:30 tomorrow morning all the way to midnight, we're going to be doing things. We get to ride go-karts in the afternoon. And the great thing is most of those kids aren't drivers, so I can always beat them at the go-karts. And, the kids have driver's license, they're good, but I can usually beat them at go-karts. They have laser tag we can play, go-karts and things like that, and it's just going to be a full day. But you know what I'm going to do? Sometime I'm going to get up a little bit early tomorrow, and I'm going to spend some time with the Lord before I go. And, Friday, it's going to be January 1st, and we got to be back at the church, out of the hotel room by 9 or 10, not probably by 9 o'clock, and there's going to be like 7 people inside the one hotel room. So they all have to get ready. Believe me, those guys always need showers, that's for sure. It takes time, but you got to take time to spend a little time with God, because there's no sense going to a youth conference if you're not going to spend a little bit of time alone with the Lord, and you're going to encourage the kids to do it. And then Saturday and Sunday, you say, I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I just want you to know that we are all busy, and we all have to take time out of our schedules to consider our ways. It's a great time to do it around New Year's, because we have what we looked at for last year and what we want to improve for next year. But don't do it off base of what we think. Go to God, go to His Word, spend some time with Him and say, Lord, here I am. What is it that you want me to do different next year? I had a good 2015. Yes, I didn't memorize as much scripture. I didn't get a chance to lead somebody to the Lord, and my prayer life wasn't like it should. But Lord, show me what you want me to work on. I know my attitude wasn't always the best, and I didn't give like you spoke to my heart. But, or you could say, hey, all those things are great and wonderful. Lord, I had a great 2015. I've considered my ways, and Lord, I just want you to bless me in 2016. That's why we're telling you to consider your ways, you to focus on, and what your results were. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a word of a little bit of time and invitation here tonight. I want to give you a few minutes to even consider your ways now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you for the people that are here, truly the faithful people. And Lord, I know there are some that could not come out, especially some of the older people in the rain just don't feel comfortable with that. And I appreciate every single person that's here. Lord, I pray that each of us take it to heart about considering our ways. Lord, I think about that Haggai chapter 1. They had good excuses. They had good reasons. People were telling them they should not and they could not build that temple. But Lord, what you said was, you need to consider your ways. Lord, I pray that we look at our lives. We'll find plenty of people that tell us that we don't need to do things. But Lord, I pray we take some time this week, the rest of this week, and just say, Lord, what is it that you might want me to change this year? Lord, I'm considering what happened, and I see the results in 2015, and they're not really the way I wanted them to turn out. Or is there something I need to work on? Is there something here that I'm missing? I want to consider my ways. I want to consider your purpose and plans for my life. I want you to consider the promises you've given me. And Lord, is there something I need to change? Lord, I pray you speak to all of our hearts tonight, including mine. In Jesus' name, amen. If God has spoken to your heart, the altar's open as Brother Jim sings, Consider Your Ways.